Welcome to the Northeast Christian Podcast. We're so excited that you've decided to check out our weekly messages. We hope that you're challenged and inspired by what you're hearing today. We'd love to have you join us this weekend at one of our campuses or online at northeast.live. For more information on Northeast, visit us at necchurch.org. If you love the Northeast Podcast, subscribe to our channel and leave us a comment or a rating in the Apple Podcast Store. This weekend's message is from Tyler McKenzie. He's the lead pastor here at Northeast.
So yeah, as you saw there on the video, it's coming up. Like, Christmas Eve is just around the corner. And as you heard me talk about last week, in Louisville especially, the Christmas season is a time where people will accept an invitation to church like no other season throughout the year. So I'm just encouraging you right now. We've got the services stretched out 4 different days, right? There's Thursday, there's Saturday, Sunday, then there's Monday, which is actually Christmas Eve. There'll be 7 different services. Start praying, start thinking right now of someone you can invite with you to those services. We will put our best foot forward, I promise you. Now, one cool thing is, on your way out today, we've made these sleek, cool little invite cards. You know, on one side, it's just kind of got the brand and the you know, the title of the Christmas. On the other side, it's got the service times, all 7 of them. I mean, trust me, some of you will just need one of these to remember yourself. But grab some of these on the way out and use them as cool little tools to invite some of your friends. All right, they'll be at all the different doors when you walk. All right, now, I just want to tell you that if you're new here, what you just saw with Tamara and Hand in Hand here on this stage, it's something that's actually pretty normal around this church. Like, if you're a part of this church, you start to take moments like that for granted, right? Because it's just so normal with us. That's who we are. $50,000 flowing out of our church and into an organization that's impacting and empowering beautiful people all across the city. That's what we do here at the Love the Ville Church. You see, okay, we actually believe here that small things done in great love change the world. We are actually believing here that it is our role to redefine church. Because you see, the church has a PR problem in America today. A lot of people outside the church, when they think of the word church, they think of something and it's not good. And it's definitely not the love of Jesus. And so we've just taken it as our responsibility to change that. We're actually trying to earn for ourselves a reputation as the Love the Ville Church in our city. Because we believe that's what God has called us to do. Now, check this out. If you're new here, I'm going to say today we're going to talk about all that. It's kind of an insider sermon, but I can't think of a better weekend for you to check out our church, because you're going to get to see what our church is all about. You're going to get to hear what we've accomplished this past year in our Love the Ville outreach. You're going to get to see where we're going in 2019. And I just want to warn you, like we do every year as we move into this season, there's going to be a giving ask at the end. Now, I always feel so bad for, like, people who show up at church for the first time on a giving weekend, you know, and it's like, oh, we're at a mega church, and it's a giving weekend. Surprise, surprise, honey. Hold on to your purse, right? Okay, I'm just telling you, like two things. One, we don't talk about giving every weekend, all right? We don't. So come back next weekend. We're going to launch a Christmas series called Prayers of the Ville, and trust me, I think that that'll be just what you need during this Christmas season. But second, I want to tell you this. If you are here and this is your first time, when we get to the giving ask, I want you to know from the front end, you need feel no pressure or no guilt to give in that moment. You are officially pardoned. Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Father, Son, okay, you're pardoned. You're pardoned. You don't have to participate. But what I want you to do is I want you to listen. I want you to listen to what we say. I want you to listen to where our money goes as a church. Because I believe, like Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. And today, you're going to get a glimpse of where our heart is as a church. And what I think you may discover is that the church you always wish existed, but never thought existed, may exist right here at the Love the Ville Church. Now, to begin today, I want to present to you a principle of giving, or principle of generosity, really a principle of wealth management that drives the way we manage our wealth here at Northeast Christian Church. And what's so powerful about this principle is that it's one of those Jesus-isms that Jesus made popular that actually people who are Christian or not can kind of wrap their minds around together. Like, even non-Christians look at this principle and say, that's conventional wisdom. That's good to apply to your life. In fact, if you do apply this principle to your life, I can promise you this. People will call you generous, whether you're a Christian or not. People will call you compassionate. People will call you a good neighbor. People will call you an upstanding citizen, whether you are a Christian or not. And the reason why they will call you that is because if you apply this powerful principle, you will in fact be just that. And who wouldn't want to be that? All right, so here's the principle without further ado. And what I would like for you to do is repeat after me. And we'll just kind of say this together. Right? Repeat after me. To whom much is given, much is expected. Great job. One more time. To whom much is given, much is expected. And isn't it true? Isn't it true? Like as you get paid more and more at your workplace, your employers expect more and more of you. When your favorite sports team signs an athlete for like a multi-million dollar deal, you start expecting more and more of that player. The more that you have in your community, in your country, the more your community and country expects you to give to those who have less. And isn't it true for those of you who read the scriptures? God holds accountable those to whom he blesses with more. To whom much is given, much is expected. I mean, am I right? Okay, now, if it is in fact true, then the real question we should be asking ourselves today is this. Who has been given much? If to whom much is given, much is expected, then we better get to the bottom of this question, right? To who has been given much? Because to whoever in this room has been given much, like warning today, you're going to be held to a higher standard. Now, if you were to ask me that question today, I would give you a simple answer. To who has been given much? I would say to you. To you has been given much, and to I has. We have been given much. Who has? You has. I'm just telling you, man. Now, the reason why I want to say this so simply and unapologetically from the beginning is because in America, we are so good. We're so good at pointing to those people and talking about how much they have, right? We're so good at making somebody else rich and making ourselves average. We're so good at like comparing tax brackets and income levels and, you know, like their cars to our cars, our vacations to their vacations, their house to our house, so we can push those rich people into the has much category and we can push ourselves down into the not as much category. But I'm just here to tell you today that if you're in this room, 99% of us sitting right here by global standards have been given so much. Perhaps we could say too much. Too much. So let me explain it to you like this. Let's pretend we had two people on this stage. We'll call them person A and person B. And let's pretend that person B makes 10,000% more than person A. 10,000%. In that situation, who has been given much? That would be person B, right? It's pretty obvious. What if person B makes 5,000% more? Who has been given much? That would be person B. What if person B makes 4,000% more? Who has been given much? That would be person B, right? Pretty simple answer. Now, let me make this a little more specific for you. Let's pretend that person A represents, about a third of the world today that lives off $2 or less a day. That's 2 to 3 billion people on the planet Earth right now. And then let's pretend that person B represents the median American citizen. According to the Census Bureau from 2016, the median income for an American in 2016 was just shy of $32,000. And you know what the percent difference is between B and A in that? A little over 4,000%. Now, let me ask you a question. In this scenario, to who has been given much? That would be to you. And that would be to me. We have been given so much. I tell you what, if we were to go out and we were to poll all the people from all across the world and we were to ask them the question, who's been given much? They would not look at us in America and parse things like we do. They wouldn't ask, you know, well, what tax bracket are you in? They wouldn't compare those who make, you know, 5 digits to 6 digits. Oh, they wouldn't compare $20,000 cars to $60,000 cars or $400,000 houses to $800,000 houses. They wouldn't say, oh, well, those people take extravagant vacations, but those poor people in Louisville, they just go to Destin. Poor Louisvillians, let's pray for them, right? No, okay, that would not be a subject of conversation, right? You know what they would do? They would look at us and they would say, isn't it obvious? Or perhaps they would ask us, why isn't it more obvious to you? So let me make it even more obvious. If you make $32,000 or more a year, did you know that you're in the top 1% of wage earners on the planet Earth today? Top 1%. Who's the 1%? For most of us, you are the 1%. If you make $17,000 or more a year, did you know that you are in the top 5% of wage earners on the planet Earth? Did you know that a high school student who works at minimum wage 15 hours a week is in the top 20% of wage earners on the planet Earth? I recently read an article that said the number 1, 5, 6, 8, and 10 wealthiest zip codes in the state of Kentucky are in the immediate vicinity of this campus that you are sitting in right now, today. Now look, why do I say that? Why am I pointing that out? Is it to make you guilty? No, it's not to make you feel guilty. Rather, it's to make you feel aware. Aware of what? You and I, we have been given so much. By global standards, we are rich. You're rich. You. Okay, check this out. The reason why you're not giving your husband a high five right now is because, fact of the matter is that most of us don't feel rich. Now, that doesn't mean we're not rich, but you don't feel rich. And the reason why you don't feel rich is because you have no margin, which is not necessarily an income problem. It's a spending to or past your income problem, which is a totally different sermon. But let's just pretend for a second that you had to get on a plane and travel to the developing world and explain to somebody living off $2 or less a day the financial pressures you are under. You know, I know it's tough here in the village, but Starbucks frappes aren't getting any cheaper, okay? You know, neither is private school, and the heating bill goes up during December. And do you know how much it pays to fill up the tank of one of these gas guzzlers I drive? To which they might look at you and say, you have indoor heat? It would just sound ridiculous to them, wouldn't it? And the reason why is to the developing world, we are ridiculously rich. Did you know this Monday we set a record? On Cyber Monday, we spent $7.9 billion on stuff we don't need. In large part for people we don't like. You know, me and Lindsay are to this point now to where we can afford to buy gifts for like our family and, you know, for you know, our nephews and nieces and all that. And you know what the hardest thing about buying gifts for people is, especially those in your family? What do you give to someone who already has everything? Especially when you're on like a $50 limit or something. You're like another pair of shoes, another coat. They got a whole closet of shoes, right? Oh, another toy for his toy room. Imagine explaining that to someone in a developing country. We have a toy room in our house, you know? So we have been given so much. Some would say too much, right? So what are we to do about that? Well, Jesus speaks a powerful word. And that word he speaks to us is not, you should feel really bad, or you were really guilty, or it is evil to make so much money. Rather, Jesus says to us something far more productive, far more compassionate, far more heart-changing, and far more world-changing than that. Jesus says to us this, Luke chapter 12, verse 48, you've been given much, and to whom much is given, much is expected. So do much with your too much, right? It's interesting. If you've ever read Luke chapter 12, in this chapter, Jesus just sort of throws down on generosity, greed, worry, and how all that will be judged someday on Judgment Day. He talks a lot about generosity, and I think Luke chapter 12 is one of his clearest, most unapologetic bits on it in all the scriptures. I just want to kind of give you some of the high points of it, all right? Start with me in Luke chapter 12, verse 15, because in this passage alone, we could write a whole sermon series on it. Jesus begins and he says, be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. To which we could just pray and go home, right? I mean, like, that's good. For some of you, that's what your life is pointed at right now. That's what you live for, to acquire an abundance of possessions. But if that is you, I just want to let you know that more stuff will never be enough. A desire for more will constantly breed a desire for even more, and it will leave you perpetually unsatisfied. This is not what your life is made for. Now, Jesus goes on, and then he tells a story to illustrate this. It says, then he told him a parable. He said, the land of a rich man produced abundantly. And this rich man thought to himself, what should I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, I know what I will do. I will do this. I'll pull down my current barns, build even larger barns, and then there I will store all my grain and all my goods, and I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry. Pause for a second. An American church, let me ask you, can you even begin to imagine someone who is that rich? Can you even begin to imagine someone who is so rich that they can basically eat whatever they want, whenever they want? Like somebody who's so rich that they never have to worry about the food on the table. There's always food in the fridge. There's always food in the cabinet. In fact, there's so much food that half the food ends up going bad and they throw it down the trash can. Could you imagine somebody that wealthy? Could you even begin to imagine someone so wealthy that they have clean drinking water and a refrigerator full of juice and milk, a whole refrigerator for their adult beverages? Could you imagine? Could you imagine someone who is so wealthy that they actually use stuff to drink as like ornaments for their wall? There's like wine bottles hanging up. Could you imagine? Could you imagine somebody who is so wealthy that they can just do whatever they want, whenever they want? They can buy plane tickets, travel here, vacation there. They can go out on Friday to this show, blow $100 on Saturday at a bar tab. Like, can you even begin to imagine someone that is that wealthy? Me neither. Me neither. I thought you guys would laugh more than that. Listen, a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine. Anyway, okay, so Jesus doesn't lighten up. He says, I want you to imagine a rich man like that. Next slide. Then he says, I want you to imagine this. I want you to imagine God showing up and saying to him, you fool. You fool. This very night, your life's being demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be then? And then Jesus says, so it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God. He then said to his disciples, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat, or about your body and what you'll wear, for it's the nations of the world that strive after all these things. To which I would ask you this, America, do you know any nations in this world that strive after such things? Okay, me neither. So let's go to the next slide. Jesus says, here's the solution though. Instead, strive for God's kingdom. And these things will be given to you as well. Sell your possessions and give alms. And that Greek word there for alms is a powerful one. It means something like mercy, something like compassion. Basically, Jesus says, channel your funds toward charitable giving that goes to mercy initiatives and compassion projects. Be generous. And make purses for yourselves that do not wear out. An unfailing treasure in heaven where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. Next slide. Blessed is that worker, he says, whom his master will find at work when he arrives. Truly, I tell you, he will put that one in charge of all his possessions. And from everyone to whom much has been given, much will be required. And from the one to whom much has been entrusted, even more will be demanded. Now, I love this last little metaphor Jesus uses here. Basically, he says, look, I'm the master and you're the worker. And all that you have now has been given, entrusted to you. I'm the owner, you're the steward, right? And I'm gone for a while, but one day I will return and I'm gonna ask you what your return is on my investment. What will it be? To which some of us are tempted to say, well, okay, yeah, you've given a lot, you know, Jesus, but I'm a talented person. I've made some serious wealth for myself. You should give me a little bit of credit. To which Jesus would look at you and say, oh, you're talented. Guess who gave you those talents? That would be me. You didn't choose your natural talents. They chose you. Oh, you're wealthy. Guess who allowed you to be born into this prosperous time and place? You could have been born someone else. You could have been born somewhere else. You could have been born in a place and time where wealth was impossible for you. But I gave to you something different. To which some of us would then be tempted to say, okay, you gave me this time and this place and these gifts, great, thank you, Jesus, but I work hard, right? I went to school for several years and I worked my rear end off, and then I work 60-hour weeks, 70-hour weeks, I put in the time to make what I have, to which Jesus would say, good. Good, I am glad you work so hard. Hard work honors God. But there is one necessary prerequisite for hard work. Being alive, the breath you just took in your lungs, and all the breaths you took before that, and all the breaths you shall take after that, and guess who gave you those breaths? That would be me, and you're not guaranteed another. I gave it all to you. I'm the owner, you're the steward. I'm the master, and you're the worker. And I'm telling you this not to make you feel bad. I'm telling you this to make you feel responsible. Or perhaps we could say it to you like this. So I believe Jesus is telling us. He's saying wealth doesn't make you culpable, but it does make you accountable. Wealth doesn't make you special, but it does make you responsible. And if the statistics are true about America, and if the statistics are true about the neighborhoods immediately surrounding our church, then we are more accountable and more responsible than most. Now, with that said, let me say this. That is why I am so proud of our church and so glad to be a part of this church, because we take that responsibility very, very seriously. In fact, about 4 years ago, we decided to change the way that we live and that we give. And over the past three Christmases, we have raised collectively over $1.4 million, of which 100% has gone back to what Jesus would call alms, charitable giving. Last Christmas alone, we raised over $800,000. And over 2018, we have made so much of that in our city and around the world for Jesus. And I am proud today to be able to celebrate with you some of the things your generosity has accomplished. I asked our outreach team a few weeks ago, I was like, listen, I'm preaching on this, and I need a list of all the things we got done, because I want the church to know where their money is gone. But I only got about 5 or 10 minutes to do it, so keep it short. And you know what they sent me? A book. I mean, it's like 50. They're like, sorry, we're keeping it as short as possible, but it's like, there's like 15 pages. These pages, like, page 8 is like a full page of text. I can't read all this, so... So check it out. I was like, listen, I'm just gonna give them a highlight. And they're like, all right, give them a highlight. So let me just give you like just some highlights of all that we have been able to do through our Love the Ville outreach over the last year. Now, if you've been around here long, you know that we have three branches when it comes to Love the Ville. We have our local school partnerships, our local community partnerships, in which we focus on what Jesus would call the least of these, those who are oppressed, those who are marginalized, those who are forgotten, those who are invisible. And then we also have our global outreach partners, which impact global communities locally and all around the world. Now, I wanna start with schools, because Love the Ville started with schools, and for a long time it's been our bread and butter as a church. Over the course of this past year, we have been able to move from 7 intimate partner schools to 9 intimate partner schools in Jefferson and Oldham County. And when I say we have an intimate partner school, what I mean is that we have a school's pastor. That's right. We have somebody who works full-time, Randy Gordon, you guys know him, and his job is to be in these schools. He's in these schools on a weekly, monthly basis, talking with the administrators, appreciating and serving the teachers, recruiting volunteers to minister to the kids of the school, and constantly asking the question, how can our church help? How can our church help? How can our church help raise the bar of excellence so that these kids can go out and unleash their full potential on the world? Because that's what our church cares about. In our 9 intimate partner schools, we've been able to lead 10 family-friendly events that have served thousands of parents and thousands of students, many of which you guys have served at. We were able to take our summer reading program back out again this year with our Love the Ville reading trailer. Have you seen the reading trailer that we've kind of upfitted? It's like a classroom on the inside. We take it out to 5 strategic neighborhoods, and we read with kids during the summer to help bridge the reading gap. We made hundreds of compassion kits. We've bought hundreds of bulletin boards. We gave supplies for student appreciation awards. We were able to lead a ribbon cutting ceremony for the opening of the Westport Early Childhood Center right down the road. We funded a bus driver appreciation initiative. We put on the graduation ceremony for the teenage pregnancy school. 220 teachers this past fall were supplied with their exact wish lists for the school year. Some of you remember grabbing some of the cards and going out shopping for these teachers. I mean, when we went and delivered the like 8 trailerfuls of supplies to these teachers. They were dancing in the halls, crying, thanking us. There was like a Twitter storm of appreciation about our church. And also this fall, 2,000 of you blitzed 34 of our local schools to get them ready for the school year. And that is not a misprint on the last line. 318,000 meals were given to hungry kids of the Ville this year after our Easter services because of your generosity. Hashtag two cheeks, 2 weeks, y'all. That's some of my best leadership at Northeast. And look, I could go on talking about schools all day. I just want you to know, that's just a snapshot. That's just a snapshot of what goes on in our schools. We have armies of people in our partner schools every single week loving the Ville. Now, our community partnerships are a little newer than our school partnerships, but I have been so thrilled to see how they've blown up over the last year. This year, we've been able to give thousands of meals and hundreds of hours to the homeless again. Just recently, we were able to move three homeless families out of living in their cars and into furnished apartments, and we're getting them on track so they can get jobs. Our PB&J ministry packs 150 meals for the homeless every single week. There's a group called God's Girls that has a lot of ladies in it from our church that have served thousands of meals to the homeless this year. We fed Thanksgiving to 300 residents in Portland, and we were also able to give 100 Thanksgiving baskets to the Portland families. We just cut a check, as you saw, for $50,000 to Hand in Hand Ministry, who's working in West Louisville. We gave $10,000 to the U of L FCA that serves over 300 athletes and coaches. We gave $50,000 to Scarlet Hope that's helping women get out of the adult entertainment industry and make a new way of life for themselves. And we started a new partnership with Prisoners Hope because we felt like we should be in some of these prisons surrounding our churches. Now, that has been so successful that I gave it its own slide because I want you guys to know what we're doing with that. And I want some of you guys to get involved with that because we need some committed volunteers in our prison ministry. First, we're in the KY State Reformatory, and we're also in the Kentucky Correctional Institution for Women. And there this year, we were able to teach a class on reentry and strengthening family ties. And the reason why we taught a class on strengthening family ties is because when men get out, the number one reason why they re-enter the system is, you guys know, because they don't have strong family ties. And we don't want them to end up back in jail. So this class is just vital for them. We've hosted many celebrations for prisoners. We gave 475 Bibles away. We fed Thanksgiving to 30 families of the incarcerated, gave 30 care backpacks to their children, and this December, we'll present 77 local kids with a Christmas gift on behalf of their incarcerated parent, because we want them to know that their dad or their mom loves them, and there's a church out there that loves them. And ladies and gentlemen, that is just a snapshot. That is just a snapshot of what is going on in our community every single day, because so many of you are committed with your money and with your time to love the Ville. And I'm not done. Check this out. Here's our global accomplishments this year, and again, it's just a highlight. We were able to sponsor 5 refugee families that ended up in our city through Kentucky Refugee Ministries. That's probably somewhere around 30 people. And because of our sponsorship of 5 families, which, believe it or not, I know that doesn't sound like much, but that's the most any organization has ever sponsored with KRM. And so because of that, we were the recipient of the 2018 Donna Craig Outstanding Service Award from the Kentucky Refugee Ministries. Congratulations, church. We gave $50,000 to the Jasper House, which is a women's empowerment group in Haiti that gets women out of abusive or exploitative relationships and gets them on track to make a life for themselves. We actually sent an outreach team down there earlier this year. There were therapists on that team that trained the therapist at the house. There were businesswomen on that team that taught a class on finance, entrepreneurship, and basic business. There were even some medical professionals that went down with that team that did a women's clinic and examined all the women there at the house. They even delivered a baby, C-section. Pretty cool. We brought a lifetime of clean water to 578 people in the developing world because of our Workout for Water partnership. We forged a new medical partnership with a group called Earth Asia Mission. And here's, this group's pretty cool. You know what they do? Basically, they take natives out of developing villages in Asia. They train them in medicine up to like a PA level. And then they send them back into their villages so that they can provide healthcare in places where healthcare would have never been accessible otherwise. And that puts us now on 4 different continents around the globe. And next year, I'd like to be on 5, you know? Yeah. And here's the deal, that's not all. It's just a snapshot of what we were accomplishing on a global scale. Maybe the coolest thing about this last year is the way we've been able to start sharing Love the Ville with other churches and organizations. We got invited to a conference this past summer in which our team was able to present to 120 church leaders what we were doing with the Love the Ville movement. And then about a month ago, we hosted on-site our first ever Love the Ville conference in which 10 churches from across the country came in for 24 hours. We just poured on them everything you've taught us, our story. And they're taking and implementing it all over our city and all across the country. We are now stewards of a movement. We're not just doing addition, we're doing multiplication. This is not local anymore, it's national. And it's because you've been so committed to it. Now, it was interesting. At the end of the conference, though, one of the church leaders there came up to me and he asked me this question. He said, hey, the service, the generosity, that's good and all. It's kind of dismissive, right? Which annoyed me. But he's like, that's good and all. But let me ask you, Tyler, what's the point of throwing some mulch on a lawn? What's the point of feeding someone a meal if they just end up going to hell anyways? Now, it's a little bit of an abrasive way to ask the question, but I was trying to be as gracious as possible, so I think I get what he was asking. I think what he was asking was, does it really work? Is all this investment in Love the Ville you guys are doing, is it really pointing people to Jesus? And in that moment, I was able to tell him story after story after story of life change in our church. I was able to tell him the story of the local school principal who's now attending our church because of Love the Ville. She started attending a couple months ago. When we found out who she was, we asked her why she started attending, and she said, because you guys kept showing up year after year after year and serving my school. And so I thought when I was going to re-engage with church, it might as well be with your church because I want to be a part of a church like that. I got to tell them the story of a mother and father who began attending our church about a year ago. They said that their family story and our church's story intersected with their daughter. Now, the mother said, I'll admit, my daughter's been an atheist ever since high school. She made some bad choices, in her teenage, early 20 years. She ended up drugs, alcohol, married to an abusive man, and she had a kid with him. Before you know it, she had to flee the home in order to make sure that her kid was safe. And in that moment, when my atheist daughter was at her lowest and in her greatest time of need, this mother said that our church showed up for her with an amazing gift and an invitation to last year's Easter services. And surprisingly, this young atheist girl accepted our invitation. And she came to our Easter services, and she heard the message about Jesus risen from the dead and the opportunity to have that same new life inside of you. And then 2 weeks later, this young, bruised and beat up mom got baptized. Gave her life to Jesus at our church. And so this mother said she was really, really surprised when her atheist daughter called her the next week and invited her to go to church with her. She had gotten me and my husband's attention. We hadn't been to church for 10, 20 years, but we wanted to see what this church was all about. So she said they drove 35 minutes to attend here and immediately fell in love with this place. She said, probably the thing that captured me first was how committed you guys were to public schools. Said, I worked in the public school system for 26 years. I knew the need there firsthand. And then she wrote to me this, and I want you to hear this, church, because I carry this letter around with me everywhere. She wrote, I have truly found my faith for the first time thanks to the church. I sing and cry during worship. I listen to the sermons. I have inner peace. I've learned to pray. I ask God each morning to help me make a difference in someone's life, and my next step is baptism. And I just want to say thanks for how Northeast has impacted my life. You are a true gift from God. Okay, one more story. I got a letter. Got a letter about a month or two ago from a young 20-something who's connected to our church named, we'll call her JJ. All right? And JJ reached out to me and she said, hey, I just want you to know that I don't believe in your God. I'm not a Christian. I'm not into organized religion. I don't like the church. But my in-laws are a part of your church. They talk about Love the Ville all the time. They truly live the Love the Ville lifestyle, like truly. In fact, she said that her father-in-law is like the father that she never had. And so, she said, when her father-in-law shared with her a sermon series we did recently on mental health, she decided to listen to it. And then she said this. She said, I just want you to thank your church for giving someone like me who's felt like she has had no voice a voice on such a controversial topic. Well, immediately I wrote her back and I was like, hey, I know you don't go to church, but you should come to our church because, you know, obviously there's a connection here. And this is what she said to me. She wrote me back and she goes, listen, I'm not a Christian, all right? I'm not into organized religion. I don't believe in Jesus. I don't like the church. But if I ever decide to come to church, I promise you I will come to your church. Now check this out. Two Fridays ago at a Love the Ville church function, guess who I got to meet for the first time serving with our church? JJ. And what an amazing step toward Jesus she took just there. You know, look, JJ, if you're out there today, if you're listening, if your father-in-law sends this one to you as well, I just want you to know that I tell that story not in an egotistical way. Okay, I don't tell that story in a way where I'm like, we're gonna get you in the baptistry, ah. You know, like, that's not, like, we don't roll like that here, okay? Like, we love for the sake of love. I tell that story because I and our church just think, we think it's so beautiful. I think it's so beautiful that we have this difference between us. Like, you're not a Christian and I am. You're not into organized religion and I lead a sometimes organized religious group. And yet it's so beautiful that the love of Jesus can bring us together. And your story has given me energy for a new season of ministry. So I thank you for that. Now, I could go on telling stories forever. I could. But we don't have forever. So I just want to thank you for making those stories possible. And I want to tell you, those are just a few of the stories, and those are just the first stories. This movement's 4 years old. It's four. Imagine what kind of terror we will be when we're teenagers, okay? Imagine what kind of impact we will make 20 years from now. Imagine what kind of reputation this church will have 30, 40 years from now. Imagine how we will change the trajectory of a generation here on this side of the world. I can't imagine. So look, with all that being said, we got our outreach team together. And we started crunching the numbers, taking into consideration all that we did last year, taking into consideration what we want to do next year, all right? I mean, like, here's a list of some new stuff that we want to do. We want to plant a Love the Ville church on or near the U of L campus. We want to build and strengthen partnerships in West Louisville. We want to impact those organizations that are serving in the realm of mental health. We want to create a first-class on-site equipping space for Love the Ville training of other churches. And we want to make School Blitz the most well-attended Sunday of the year for our church, right? We've got some big dreams, right? So taking those dreams into consideration, taking all that we want to continue to do in consideration, and taking into consideration the fact that you guys gave over $800,000 last year, this year, we believe to get everything done in 2019, we're going to need, bum-ba-da-ba, $1 million dollars in giving to the Love the Ville Youth Fund. Now, okay, you clap. But if we are going to pull that off, then here's what's going to have to happen. We are going to need 100% of you, 100% of you to give an above and beyond sacrificial gift to our Love the Ville Youth Fund. 100%. If you're here in the room, if you're online right now, like 100%, even if you're not a Christian, but you want to be a part of the peace and prosperity of our city, we need 100% of you to give an above and beyond gift. Now, the reason why I say above and beyond is because the temptation, Northeast people, is to shift what you currently give just to Love the Ville, but that would be robbing Peter to pay Paul, and it would undercut some of our vital ministries, our children's ministry, our women's ministry, our adult ministry, our first impressions ministry, and we won't see that. This is an above and beyond sacrificial gift, and I promise you, if you do that, 100% of that which goes to our Love the Ville Eve Fund, 100% of it will go into our Love the Ville outreach. I've crunched the numbers this week, and we figured out that to get to a million, if we have 3,000 giving units, which wouldn't be 100%, but it would be close to it, 3,000 giving units at $333.33 would get us to $1 million. Now check this out, though. I know that's a lot of money for some of you. So I got my calculator out, and I really crunched the numbers even further. And I figured this out. Okay. If one giver today were to just write us a check for $1 million, we could put this baby to bed. We start talking about 2020, okay? So you never know who's in the room, all right? I mean, I've been praying, I'm just saying, I've been praying Bobby Petrino would show up because I know that he got some, anyways, okay, bad joke. Let's take it a different. This is going in a bad direction. All right, so here's the easiest ways to give. You can give on the app, you can give online, necchurch.org/give. You can give at our church service, you can snail mail it. We'll be checking the mail every day for the next month, I promise. Just make sure you designate it to the Christmas Eve fund and it'll get to the right place. All right, closing word. I know that for a lot of us, $1 million sounds like too much. Sounds like too much to me as well. But the reality is that we have been given so much. Many would say too much. And the reality is that Jesus made it clear, to whom much is given, much is expected. So let's make so much out of our too much. You know what I believe? I believe that the future belongs to the bold. And maybe it's just how I'm wired, but I do not want to be a part of a church. I don't want to be a part of an organization that's just like, meh, with their goals. I want to be a part of a church that's average. I don't want to be a part of just another church. I don't want to be a part of a church that likes to maintain the status quo. No, I want to be a part of a church that is committed to being the cutting edge of compassion. And I believe that's church. You know what I want to be? I want to be a part of the most compassionate church in the most compassionate city in the United States of America. And I believe that's this church. So let's be who we are. Let's make much of our too much. And let's pray that Jesus gets all the glory for it. Heavenly Father, spark another movement of generosity. Spark another tidal wave of generosity in our city this year. And let it start right here with your body, this local church, Northeast Christian Church, the Loveville Church. Thank you for giving us so much. Let us make much with it. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, thanks for being here today. If you need prayer, please, we would love to talk with you in the fireside room. Or if you're new here, we would love to meet you at one of our at our guest relations kiosk there in the middle or at the fireside room as well. Have a great week. And I know my heart is heavy. I can't take this anymore, but this is all I've got to give you. It's all I've got to give you now. Amidst of this debris.